blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 249, stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6. Because thy trust is God alone, and thy refuge is the highest one, no evil shall upon thee come, nor plague approach thy guarded home. 1, 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 249.
wish to read out of God's holy and precious word from the book Ezekiel from chapter 33. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ezekiel 33, the first 20 verses. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth a sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come, and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O Son of Man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou Son of Man, speak unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth away from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again what he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Yet the children of thy people say, The way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you, every one, after his ways. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who can say that thy ways are not equal, and that thou art not so good and so merciful and so long-suffering and so faithful to thyself and to thy own word. But thou knowest all our hearts and what we say within, for thou seest the inmost thoughts of our hearts. Also on this first Sabbath day, in the first day of this newly begun year, then thou givest us yet our life, and that is already a great mercy, for there are old and also there are young, whose lives they have been snuffed out. And then we are able to continue, and thou makest a difference with us where there is no difference from our side, that we may be given to behold something of thy great goodness unto us, but that it may also break our hard and stony hearts, that we may be melted under all thy blessings, the blessings of this life, but also what thou givest to us and withholdest from so many, and that thy word may come unto us continually. O Lord, thou knowest that we need a new heart. Thou givest us a new year, a new beginning, but we need also a new heart. There are so many resolutions in the first day of a new year, but so many dependent only upon the strength and the faithfulness of man, which is no strength, it is weakness, it is unfaithfulness. And then we forget so quickly the good things that we had intentioned, and we go on in the way that our hearts are. Lord, that thou may make a new beginning, that thou wouldst renew our hearts, that is where it must begin with us. And thou didst say, behold, I make all things new. And especially when thou didst send thy dear Son into the world, then how new that it became. And when thou sendest him in the heart of thy children, O Lord, how new that it becomes also for them. O that thou wouldst make it new for thy people, and that thou may show thyself, and that thou may remember us in that way in the year that is before us. And we know not our life, and there are old and there are young, and we are all subject to all thy providences. Thou knowest the end from the beginning, and the life of every man, but thou hidest it from us, not that we would prolong it, but that we might know the shortness of our life, but thou knowest, Lord, our foolishness. Oh, that thou may give us to hasten with the short time that we have left by thee, for our life's sake, that we might learn to flee, that we may learn to run, that we would not sit still, but that we may make haste for our life's sake. For we know not the measure of our days. Lord, remember all those that have become old. Then it can be that their fears are increasing, because they are aware more and more that this life is soon to be done. And then there is a knowledge in an outward way, but Lord, that there may also be in them a true repentance, that even if it is so late in our life, and that we may be brought to bow our knees and to confess our sinful existence before a holy and a righteous God. And those thoughts to enter into the mind, to say that it is now too late for you, for you have given your young bones to the world, and you want now to receive heaven. O Lord, wilt thou give a cry under all the temptations that there can be, and that thou may give the love of thee in their hearts, because when we become old, then our hearts, they are often felt to be so hard. Lord, remember them, each one of them, in the climbing of their years, and that thou may yet spare in thy mercy, and that thou may yet bless thy word. Remember fathers and mothers in the bringing up of children. Remember children. Give obedience to parents, to teachers. Remember teachers, principals, the school, and all connected thereto. In the year that lies before us, oh, bless the labors in the churches, in the denomination, the meetings, the committees, so many labors. Wilt thou give opportunity also, and by the opening of the borders, and that we may gather together as a synodical meeting with all of the delegates. Lord, that thou may remember in thy mercy thy own cause, for there is a rising up in our days against thee and against thy people. More and more it is to be seen where the laws, thy holy law, that is put to the side, and man does serve Satan, the devil, the world, and all that lives in our heart by nature, so that thy judgments, they are righteous to come upon us, and we make ourselves ripe for them. O Lord, deliver us. Deal not with us according to our sins. Remember us and spare us in thy mercy. May it be for the rising generation, that they may yet have an opportunity to be delivered also from all their sins, and that thou may give unto them in the days of their youth a hastening for the sake of their lives. Wilt thou remember the unborn, protect from the sword, and wilt thou care for all that are in the womb, and that thou mayst spare lives, and wilt thou supply for all disappointments. Lord, thou knowest all the cares and all the concerns in the midst of the world and of the church. Wilt thou care for the afflicted and the sick, the homeless ones, those that have not a good mind, those that are abused, those that have no father, no mother, no caregiver, those that have lost their supports. Oh, the miseries in this world are great. Teach men to cry to thee and draw to thyself through all thy goodness. Help us as a consistory. Give us wisdom. Give us love. Grant us the fear of thy name. Grant us that faithfulness that we have heard of out of thy word, to hear the word from thee, and to be steadfast, and that we might warn them from thee, and that we may deliver our own selves through those warnings, that we be not responsible for the perishing of our people. Lord, give in our midst a humbling, give in our midst that thy word may have fruit, the preaching of thy word, the reading of thy word, oh, that we may be given that true bowing at thy footstool, and that we may be given the truth to be born in our hearts, the love of thee. And wilt thou care for us in this hour? Help us. And wilt thou give thy spirit, Lord? And give us wisdom. And give us strength. And give us thy spirit. Open thy word. Take away our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 251, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. It is good to sing thy praises and to thank thee, O Most High, showing forth thy loving kindness when the morning lights the sky. And what follows in Psalter 251, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thank you. beloved congregation, on behalf of the consistory, we desire to wish each and every one of you the Lord's richest blessings for the year that we are privileged to enter. As we have been created in this world, man had to be upheld. He had to be upheld in his very existence. He had to be given his life in the first place. But then his life also had to be continued. That could only be by the Lord. And then all that he stood in need of in this world also had to be given to him continually, moment by moment. But now our needs have very, very greatly increased because of our fall. And that is, of course, our own fault. And then it is a wonder that the Lord still allows us, and not only allows us, but invites us to cry to him in our needs, and that he shows himself desirous and willing to hear and to answer our cries. But it is most necessary that the need of our soul that will become greater than the need of our bodies. And that is our wish for each and every one, both young and old, in the year that lies before us. May the Lord so bless his word in the reading, in the preaching, in the teaching, to both young and old. Our text can be found once again in the Gospel according to John, the 3rd chapter, verses 19 through 21. John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So far the words of our text. Christ declares the reason men are condemned even after the Savior is come into the world. We'll say that again. Christ declares the reason men are condemned even after the Savior is come into the world. First, light is come. And second, men love darkness. Christ declares the reason men are condemned even after the Savior is come into the world. First, light is come. And second, men love darkness. And this is the condemnation. We heard that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. And that we hear now about condemnation. And this is the condemnation. And if he came not to condemn the world, why is there then still a condemnation? Why do men still perish? Well, there are many in the world say that is very easy. That is because they refuse to believe on the name of the Son of God. because it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, see, then you have to believe. You have to believe on the name of the Son of God. And then they do. And then they do, or they think they do. And so that whole matter that is completely wrapped up. The devil, congregation, is very, very subtle. The devil is very, very busy. And the deceptions of the devil, they are often including a certain amount of truth. That is the way he deceives men, because if he can mix in a little bit of truth with it so that it seems to be true, well, then men are deceived. But partial truths, they are no truths at all. They are complete errors. And the Lord Jesus, he tells the complete truth, and then it is very clearly true. And that if a man does not believe in the name of the Son of God, that is clearly, clearly true, that he will be condemned. He will be condemned. That is one of the causes of the condemnation of man. But it is not the first cause. No, the cause actually lies much deeper, because there is a reason. There is a reason that men do not even desire to believe on the name of the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus, he here declares that reason. So we know that the Apostle Paul, we have spoken about the chain of salvation. He said, whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate, and so on. A chain. They are links in a chain. They are connected to one another. When you read these verses, then you see also a chain. The Lord Jesus speaks actually here in a solemn way about a chain, not of salvation, but a chain of damnation. There is a chain of reasoning, because the Lord Jesus, he is not speaking to animals. No, he's speaking to his creatures, the human being, whom he has given a mind, whom he has given reason. And so he goes from one reason to the next. He goes deeper and deeper, as it were. He will get to the bottom of it. He that believeth not is condemned already, and this is the condemnation. So he declares what that condemnation is. Do you desire to know what that is? That you say, if I am condemned, and if I will be forever condemned, why? Why will I be condemned? That is what he speaks about. This is the condemnation. Why are men condemned? Well, what do men say? Men say they are condemned because of God, because of his decree, because of predestination, because of reprobation. That is the cause of the condemnation of men. And why are men saved? Well, that is because of men. That is because of their faith. That is when they believe. Thus, what do? They turn it all upside down. They blame God that man is condemned. And they give the credit to man when he is delivered. And what does the Lord Jesus do? He sets it straight. He sets it very calmly. He says that to Nicodemus. He puts everything in order. This is the condemnation. What is it? He says that light is come into the world. What a blessed thing, congregation, is light. Who made the light, children? That was in the beginning, right? God said, let there be light, and there was light. Thus, God made the light. What a contrast from before that God made the light, because we read that there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And then there was light. What a great privilege. What a great blessing that there may be light. Light is a great relief, is it not? When we arise in the morning and when there is light, you say that is the light of a new day. Then there is hope, there is expectation in that light of that new day. Today we enter into a new year. It is the light of a new year. Then there is hope, there is expectation, there is a looking forward to what is now going to be in that new year. And what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, light is come into the world. What was he speaking about? Well, he was speaking about himself. He was come into the world. And he says, I am the light of the world. Thus, that was a new time. When the Lord Jesus came into the world, then it was the gospel time. That was the end of the Old Testament. That was the beginning of the New Testament. And what was the Old Testament? That was a dark time. Say, dark. Why so dark? You say it is dark today. Oh, it was dark in the Old Testament. And why? It was a time of shadows. The promises were there. But no one knew just how those promises would be fulfilled. There are still promises in God's Word that are not yet fulfilled. Prophecies about the future. And that is dark to us. So we do not know how that word of God is going to be fulfilled. So it was for God's people. That was for them a dark time. And then the Lord Jesus came, and then he was the fulfillment of all those prophecies and all those promises that were from on high. And when he came, then there was light. Then light came into the world. Oh, then men could see. Ah, they say, that was the prophecy. That was the promise. That's what it was speaking about. This is now how that comes together. Oh, then all the mysteries and all the darkness and all the shadows, they did flee away. Oh, they are for the purpose that men might see. They might see and they might believe also in that blessed Messiah. Light has come into the world. And you and I, we are privileged, greatly privileged, to live in this time of light. Do we ever consider that? Do we now appreciate the time that we live in, where those mysteries are revealed? Because the Lord Jesus says that there are many prophets and righteous men that have desired to see the things that we see, and have not seen them, and to hear the things that we hear, and have not heard them. And thus, we live in a very, very privileged time of light. Light is come into the world. And now that is that light that the Lord is shining in the heart of his people. And when we heard it about Christmas, boys and girls. And then there was a great light when the Lord Jesus came into this world. And when the Lord Jesus comes in our heart, then there is light. In a heart that was so, so dark, that could not see the way, for whom it was so impossible, that did not know how that their guilt could be forgiven, that was always increasing and increasing. And they tried with all their might and all their power and all their desire, oh, to live a good life, a right life, a life that of love to the Lord. And like Paul, he says, the good I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, then it becomes so impossible. How shall that guilt be gone? How can I be renewed? How can I be sanctified? How can I be made a person like the Lord has made me in the creation? How can I be reconciled to God? Then that door that is closing more and more and more, so that they cannot see a way. And then light. Light out of that word of God. Did you ever have light out of that word of God? Something that was preached out of that word of God. Something that you have read out of that word of God. And that the Lord has given you to see light. Oh, then light is not come only into the world. Oh, then you say, light that has come also in my heart. And then it is for you a new day. And then you see the way of grace. Then you see a way of salvation. And by that light, then the darkness that is fleeing away. Oh, in that moment, then it is so bright. But, yeah, that brightness that goes away. Also for those shepherds have been away. And still that light was in their heart. And that can never actually go completely away. And then they long to see that light again. They long to rejoice again in that light. Because it is all dependent upon that light of the Lord. And that they are able to believe. But how is it then that men are still condemned? Even after light is come into the world. You say this because they do not believe. That is true. But why? Why is it that men do not believe? Well, we heard that too. We heard what faith is. We heard that assent, and that is so impossible for a man to assent, to agree. Why? Because he is much too high. Because his strength needs to be taken away, and his wisdom needs to be taken, and his righteousness has to become as filthy rags. Oh, that is the work of the Spirit of the Lord that is not acceptable to a man. Oh, that is breaking him down. That is hard for his flesh. And therefore, no, men do not just believe. And that is all true, but the Lord Jesus now goes even deeper. He goes, as it were, to the root causes in those that chain, we say, of causes, one after the other. What does he say? He says, it is that men love darkness. Men love darkness. Really? Is that so? Do you love darkness? You love darkness, boys and girls? He said, no, I don't love darkness. I love the light. But the Lord Jesus says men love darkness. So who's right? Who's right? Are you right when you think I love the light? Or is the Lord Jesus right who says men love darkness? You ever find such contradictions in the Word of God? You say, I do not understand that. Then what do you say? The Bible is wrong? No. You say, oh, I must be so ignorant. And that is true. Men do not know themselves. We are ignorant of ourselves. We are ignorant of our depravity. We are ever deniers. Deniers of our fall. Deniers of our state by nature. Thus we need to be uncovered. Do we ask the Lord for that? The Spirit of the Lord. Oh Lord, show me myself. Will you do that, boys and girls, in this year? That is the first thing we need to know. Oh Lord, show me myself. Because we do not know who that we are ourselves. We need light. Because we are in that way, in the darkness. Men love darkness rather than light. That, he says, is the condemnation of men. And that is seen especially after that the light is come into the world. That is now the declaration of the Lord Jesus. And we can put ourselves on the outside of that, or try to put ourselves on the outside of that. But if we have never believed in the Son, then it is true of us also, because it is part of the link in that chain that the Lord Jesus is here speaking about. If the Lord Jesus declares here, he says elsewhere, I am the light of the world, and the Lord Jesus says here that light is come into the world, if that is what he says, and we believe not in him, then how can it be otherwise than that we love the darkness? Then it has to be, because that one thing that is following after the other. That means we are like the moles and like the worms that go in the dark, that flee the light. That means that we are like the bats. They come out when it is dark, like the night owl. Oh, you say, but those are night creatures. They are nocturnal. They are created that way. Man was not created. No, he was not created that way. But he has become that way through his fall. Listen, the Lord Jesus continues with this chain of the causes of the condemnation of men, even after that this light is come into the world. What does he say? He says, men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That, he says, is the reason. And why do we love the darkness rather than light when our deeds are evil? He explains that. What does he say? He says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God, lest his deeds should be reproved. We don't want to be reproved, do we? Not nice to be reproved, is it? And then men do not go forward to reproval, to receive a reproof. No, they go away from receiving a reproof. And therefore, it says that they go into the darkness. Thus light is what makes our deeds manifest. It is what exposes the deeds of a man, what he is doing. Light. Then everyone can see, if he does it in the light, everyone can see what he is doing. And if we don't want that exposed, if we don't want to be reproved, then we go into the shadows. Into the shadows. What do you do at night, young people? When it gets dark, then where are you? And with whom are you? Because who is working in the night? That is the devil. The devil. Evil deeds. And there are those that work for the devil, many of them, because the devil, he is the prince of this world. And so many of those works of the devil are being carried out in the night because they are works of evil. And thus, parents, we must look where our children are, especially in the night. Oh, the devil does not want his deeds to be made manifest. And now deceit, that is the work of the devil. And deceit is a work of darkness. And when we deceive, then we try to go into the dark. We do it in the shadows. It is not all out in the open. No, then we do not come to the light, lest our deeds should be reproved. And now when the Lord Jesus came into the world, then what did he begin to do? Then he began to expose the works of darkness. They were works of darkness even in the midst of the church at that time, where Satan was dwelling, because Satan is everywhere. And the Lord Jesus, he began to expose. They were works against his own people, his poor people, his hungry people that needed to pluck a few ears of corn on the Sabbath day to eat, and his poor people whom he delivered, and they had to carry their bed on the Sabbath day, and then the Lord Jesus had to protect them and expose the works of darkness. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, because you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within you are full of extortion and wickedness. It is in the dark, it is on the inside. And the Lord Jesus, he brought all that what was Pharisaical at that time into the light. All that was not appreciated, that was all hidden from man. That was hidden from man, and it was deceiving man, but it was not hidden from God. And God would take care of his own people, and he would expose the works of darkness, and he would bring those works of darkness into the light, because he sees our heart. And he looks on that heart. Oh, did the Lord ever expose? Did the Lord ever open up to you the things that are hidden in your heart that you say, I didn't even know that sin was living in my heart? Let us sing. 255, 2 and 4. For how great a God and glorious is Jehovah, whom we sing. Over idol gods victorious, great is he, our God and King. 2 and 4 of 255. congregation, we are privileged to enter into the light of a new year with the rest of humankind that the Lord has spared to this moment. That is now a great privilege, but that privilege is going to end. And how will it be for us when the privilege of our life is brought to an end? Are we going to perish? Are we going to be condemned? And if we are condemned, why will we be condemned? That will not be the fault of the Lord. That will be our own fault. God is the cause of salvation. Not man. Man is the cause of his own condemnation. Not God. And why are men condemned? When you go to a judge is going to listen to whether or not you have been obedient to the law. Thus, we are condemned because of transgression to the law of God. And what is now the law of God? That is love to God and to my, above all, and to my neighbor as myself. And love to my neighbor that is flowing out of love to God. So what is now standing at the bottom of the obligations of mankind? That is love to God. Love to God. Thus, when the Lord comes to judge us, He is going to ask about the love for Him. That is now the first reason that men are condemned. Because the Lord says, I've created you to love me. You have rebelled against me. You have forsaken me. And you have chosen another God. That is the God of sin and all the idols of your heart that are in this world. Oh, do you feel that? Ever? We are so spiritually dead. Do you ever feel that? Or is there ever a sorrow, a grief in your heart that you are so carnal? Because God is a spirit, and He must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And we are all of the earth earthy. And that cleaving to the earth and that deadness of spirit is lying underneath all of our transgressions in the midst of this world. Vanity. Vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, saith the preacher. It is the sinful existence. It is the sinful disposition that is lying underneath all of the transgressions of a man in this world. That is our guilt. Our guilt. For that we will be condemned before God, who says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But it is not only our guilt. It is also our misery. Why? Because we cannot deliver ourselves. Oh, that's our poverty. We cannot deliver ourselves from this. Did you ever try that? To deliver yourselves from your carnality? Or maybe you make a New Year resolution, boys and girls. That is a good thing. You save every day. I am going to love the Lord. Will you do that? Will you try that? Because if you will try that, then you will find out how dead you are. And that is now our guilt, but it is now also our misery. And when a person comes to mourn that, when he is grieved over that, when the Spirit of the Lord works such a thing, oh, it is for such a person that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, in the greatness of his love for his people over the length and breadth of the whole world. Whosoever believeth in him. Oh, then that sending that becomes such a wonder to that people. Then they learn to assent. Then they learn to agree. And these people are not condemned. Paul says, I know in whom I have believed. And the Lord knows them too. Each and every one of them. But there are still many that hear, and they are condemned. And they perish. Why? Why? Because of the love of sin. The love of sin. That is standing at the bottom. It is the love for our vanity. It is the love for our carnality. The love for our earthly mindedness. And for our other bosom sins. Thus it is not only the sins themselves, but it is our love for them. Because the Lord says, I have provided for you a way of deliverance from those sins, from the guilt of those sins, but also from the way of sin, from the committing of sin. I have made a way of deliverance. If your soul desires that, does your soul desire that? But what does he say? Ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Do you ever experience that? When you think about, when you meditate upon the law of God, your own life, your own sin, oh, you say, you love such and such a thing, such and such a sin, and you wish, you know it is a sin, but you wish it were not a sin. You wish it were not a sin. Why? Because you love it. Because you do not want to leave it. Oh, then we do not honestly come, do we, to the light. To the light of the Word. And let that light of the Word shine upon that sin that we love. Oh, then we are not quite honest, are we? With our own soul. Then we love the darkness. We love to cover it. We don't want that light to shine. We feel our emptiness. We feel our vanity, and we love it. And we love it. That is why we do not seek the means to destroy it. To destroy it. Our heart does not go out after the Word, to read that Word, to meditate on that Word, in order that we would become spiritual and no more carnal. All our deeds are evil. And when our deeds are evil, then we do not come to the light, lest our deeds should be reproved. We seek a little religion, because with a little religion, we can quiet our conscience. But we don't go any further, because we love the darkness. We enjoy the service of the world. We enjoy the service of sin. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Oh, our hearts, they are so very, very deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Oh, we say, no, we do not love the darkness. But let the Lord shine a little bit. Oh, then the Lord will teach us that we do love the darkness. Oh, the fact that we do not desire that a particular sin, any one of them, especially those bosom sins, the ones that we enjoy, that we do not want that to be uncovered, or that is testifying something, the desperateness of our state, of our condition, and our love for the darkness, because there is a remedy. There is a remedy. There is a remedy for the guilt. And there is a remedy for that service, the love of the world, to cure that. There is a remedy for that. Do you believe that? Ah, you say, I believe it. But do I want it? Do I want it? That is the love for the darkness. And men love darkness rather than light when a remedy is placed before us time and time again. And we, what we will do, time and again we hear of that remedy, will we then continue to cleave and to cleave and to cleave to our sin? Oh, indeed, if we do not wish to forsake our sin, then you understand that there is condemnation coming. No, it will not be God's fault. That is going to be our own fault. O congregation, what is now the prophet? What is now the profit of a life of vanity? What is now the profit of a life of emptiness? What is now the profit of living a life, your whole life, your whole short life? All, I don't say in the midst of the world, but for the world. Being without God in the world. Did the world ever give you any hope? Did the world ever give you any satisfaction? Did the world ever give unto you one moment of true joy, of happiness? Do you not find it all so deceiving? Time and time again, boys and girls, we receive in the world, and then it disappoints. The devil does not change. Never. It stays that way. And it will be that way for the rest of your life until the day that you die. Or is it not so different with the Lord? Is your congregation not so good? Is he not so true? Is he not so just? Is he not so merciful? Has there any person ever been disappointed when he gave his life to the service of the Lord? Or does the Lord now deal with us as we deserve? Does the Lord now mark the sins of his own people? Are they not a blessed people? Are they not a happy people? You ever desire to have a place amongst that people? Or maybe you say, if I only could, if I only could. But it seems like I can't. It seems like it is never going to be. Is that so? I went in by my grandmother once. She was old, and she was reading a good book, sitting on a stool by the kitchen table. And I went and sat down to her, by her. And I began to ask her a few questions. And you know what she said to me? She said, Henry, those lucky people. Those lucky people. She did not say that indifferently. She did not. I have proof of that in the parsonage. Because she searched and she searched and she searched. She wrote notebooks full of what she found in those books. She would never forget it. Those lucky, lucky people. You say that too? Till you're old? Oh, the Lord, give to us such a life to search and to search and to search. You know why? Because the Lord is not a liar. No, the devil is a liar. But the Lord is not a liar. And the Lord says that he who asks receives. And he who seeks, finds. And he who knocks, to him that door shall be opened. That was not such scriptural language that she used, those lucky people. But the content is found in the Word of God. David said it better. David, he said, remember me. You say that too? O Lord, with that favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. Oh, is that now the language of your heart? Is that the language of your heart? Then we would say, stay there. Stay there. And keep your eye on that light. See something precious there? In that Word of God? Keep your eye on it. Go directly unto it. And so shalt thou see the gate. Remember what that was, boys and girls? Christmas. Christmas. So shalt thou see the gate. Oh, how glad that you will be when your life will come to an end. Reverend Kite, he said, I am so glad that what had to happen has already happened. You hear that, young people? It has already happened. He was old. He was diseased. He was weak. Then it's very difficult. You are young. You have strength. What are you going to use it now for? What is now the profit, congregation, if we shall gain the whole world and we shall lose our own soul? What are we going to do now with that time? The Lord is yet sparing us. Yes, you have to do your work. 6 days. The Lord does not only say that you must rest on the Sabbath. He also says that you must work 6 days. But we can read it in the Word of God. How? How? Because we read the apostle, he says, using this world as not abusing it, because the fashion of this world passes away. Short time. Short time that we have, that we would not be condemned, that we may be delivered from condemnation. Do you know what the Lord says? I'm ready to forgive. I'm ready to forgive. Do you believe that? But there is no forgiveness outside of the way of repentance for everyone that doeth evil, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. If we perish, it is our own fault. It is because of the love of sin. The love of sin. It lies so deep rooted within our heart. And now if we willfully choose, we willfully choose to love sin, to love emptiness and vanity above the remedy that the Lord has provided, then we are justly condemned and we will surely perish. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. What does he say? Search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, David says, Lord, wilt thou do it? Wilt thou do it? Search me, because we have to examine ourselves. But we are political. We're political. There's that sin that I love. Now we put it in the dark. Oh, David says, Lord, wilt thou do it? Wilt thou do it? And whatever comes up in that search that thou dost make of my heart and my life, oh, wilt thou take it away? It will be painful for me. It will be painful for my flesh if thou wilt take that away. But Lord, wilt thou work through? Wilt thou work through for the salvation of my poor soul? O congregation, then there is a remedy. No sinner too great. His grace that is as wide as the ocean. For God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth in him, doesn't matter what your life has been. It does not matter. It does not matter what sin it was, the multitude of them, the height of them, the depth of them. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is a little beginning in this year, and we may acknowledge Thee for these moments that we may begin in Thy house, that we may begin with Thy Word. O Lord, give us life, life from the dead. Do work true regeneration. O bring us with desire to the light, and that our deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God, that there is truth in them, and that there is desire to be honest before Thee. And wilt Thou dismiss us with Thy blessing? Help us in this week, each one in our place. Keep us from all iniquity, from all danger and harm, and wilt Thou teach us the love of Thee and the hatred of sin, and wilt Thou show to us Thy dear Son for the first or by renewal, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We ask the congregation to remain seated after we sing from Psalter 41, stanzas 3 through 7. The fear of God is undefiled and ever shall endure. The statutes of the Lord are truth and righteousness most pure. Stanzas 3 through 7 of Psalter 41. Thank you.
Reverend, it is my privilege on behalf of the consistory as we enter the newly begun year. We hear it all around us. You also, we heard you from the pulpit. We wish one another all the best and the Lord's blessings in the year before us. And so it is also with us as a consistory. We wish you all the Lord's blessings on you and yours for the coming year. And it is our desire and our wish that you may continue at the helm of the consistory, that you may continue in your various labors in the congregation, all the work that you do, not only on the pulpit, but so many other labors. We hope you may continue with that. And then we feel we may say publicly here that the trumpet does not give an uncertain sound. We heard it this afternoon from Ezekiel 33, what the requirements of the watchman is. The faithful watchman who blows the trumpet when he must, and the unfaithful watchman. And then we may believe with that you have faithfully brought God's word before us from Sunday to Sunday, expounded it correctly, law in our death in Adam and life in Christ, that it shall not go well with a sinner, and that they who have found life in Christ, that that you may speak in an edifying word to them. And that goes for all of us in the congregation, of course. We have all hearers here, and we may believe that he includes each and every one of us, a warning at times, and also a word of encouragement at times. Now, congregation, we read in Octavius Winslow in Morning Thoughts, that your profit by your minister will be proportional to your prayer for him. And that is something we need to especially remember at all times. There was, in years past, a minister who faithfully brought God's word before the congregation from Sunday to Sunday. He expounded God's word correctly, and yet he felt over time there was no fruit on his preaching, and he was not alone. The congregation thought so too. And one of the office bearers came to him. He said, "Reverend, perhaps you should think of going to another congregation or bringing different messages, because we feel there is no fruit on your preaching." "Yes," the minister says, "you are right." He says, I believe I have lost my prayer book." The man said, "Your prayer book?" "Yes," he said, "my prayer book." He said, "the members of the congregation, they are my prayer book. And I question whether people in the congregation pray for me. And that is what I mean." And so the people could go home with that message. Perhaps perhaps it is not the minister. Perhaps we need to lay the needs of the minister before the Lord. And therefore, as Octavius Winslow says, your profit by your minister will be proportional to your prayer for him. I believe that true servants of the Lord are few and far between, and I think we may be thankful that we have a servant called by the Lord, sent by the Lord, sent to this congregation, sent to Fort McLeod. And I hope that also in this congregation there may be many Aarons and Hurs, that there may be many who bring the needs of the minister before the Lord, because It is all these needs must be brought before the Lord in prayer, and I hope that us in this congregation it may be felt, and that we may remember our minister in this regard. May you all seek the peace and the welfare also of this congregation. And now I'd like to invite the congregation to sing from Psalter 248. We'll sing this instead of the doxology, and we'll sing this standing, 248, the first and the fourth stanza. The man who once has found abode within the secret place of God shall with Almighty God abide and in his shadow safely hide. 1 and 4 of 248.
Teach each and every one of us our own obligations, as we have heard in this morning hour. Forgive all of our shortcomings and bless his own word. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.